Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Don't Risk It, Secure It podcast. For today's episode, I'm joined with Jonathan Kilpatrick from True Light Consulting. Jonathan is the founder of True Light LLC, and True Light Consulting specializes in technology strategy, regulatory compliance, and cybersecurity. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on today's episode.
Alyssa, thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Awesome. Do you want to just give a quick introduction about True Light or yourself, anything that I didn't mention?
Absolutely. I'll touch on my background a little bit just so everyone knows where I'm coming from. I was an applications developer for a number of years. Was moved into management as the CIO for the city of Tallahassee, having the traditional IT as well as OT responsibilities for our SCADA system and the utilities. Founded True Light primarily as a technology strategy and cybersecurity and then regulatory compliance as well. I found in my time as with the CIO role that having good cybersecurity and external cybersecurity evaluations was critical to keeping our systems clean, keeping our systems resilient against cyber attacks or incidental cyber activities. I like to group the cyber attackers into three categories: those that do it for fun, those that do it for profit, and those for do it for political reasons. Right. And those three are, if you can defend against those three, you've got 99%.
Right. Yeah. And those are just the main motives, right?
Correct.
Perfect. So thank you so much for that. And in this episode, we will be talking about red team exercises. And you're the perfect person for that. So I just want to thank you again for coming on. What exactly do red team exercises do, and what are they?
Well, if you don't mind, let me back up just a little bit and talk about just what a red team is. Red teams are typically a group that would emulate an adversarial attack. They would emulate those groups that are doing for profit motive or political motives, a organized attack against a network or a system, or being able to infiltrate your network. The red team exercise is just that. It is a group of offensive cyber professionals that would emulate those attackers. They would go against your blue team or your defensive team in a exercise to see what are the vulnerabilities and what are the responses to an external, or it could be an internal, but an adversarial attack. There is a difference too that I guess we can clarify early on between an internal red team and an external red team. When you're doing an internal, you may have part of your organization acting as the aggressor, somebody on your staff. An external would be a third party that would come in. I see value in both of those to have that dynamic. I think when you get an external team, it very much emulates, or can very much emulate, what goes on in the real world. And that red team exercise is designed to allow you in a non-destructive way to see what vulnerabilities you have and then give you the opportunity to eliminate those vulnerabilities before they are exploited by someone who does want to destroy or degrade or disrupt your operations.
Right.
So in a short sentence.
And that really touches into why red team exercises are recommended, like what benefits they have and all of that. So thank you for touching up on that. I want to follow up with, we understand that it's to see the types of vulnerabilities that are present and how to go about them. But I want to ask who needs red team exercises, or is there someone that needs it more than another person? How does that work?
Absolutely. In a nutshell, those who need a red team in engagement is pretty much any organization that has a security team or a security individual. If there is an organization that has staff personnel assigned as a defensive cyber responsibilities, a red team can be beneficial. And a red team engagement should be scaled to the organization's needs. A smaller organization would obviously have a smaller footprint. They would have a smaller engagement. To a larger organization, the larger organizations should be scaled to look at all of their perimeter, all of their activities. A smaller organization may look at only their cloud or their email. It can be a phishing engagement to see what can be exploited. So it depends on the organization, but I would, again, in a nutshell, any organization that has a defensive cyber team or individual could benefit from a red team engagement to see what their vulnerabilities are.
Right. And I know that you mentioned that for each organization, it could be a bit different. So, this is probably a hard question, but what exactly, I know you mentioned that vulnerabilities are being looked for, but is there anything more specific? Like what exactly is being looked for when a red team exercise is performed?
When the engagement occurs in TrueLight's, our methodology is to truly emulate that adversarial position. We would begin with pure reconnaissance of the organization, of the individuals within the organization. We would look for those possibilities that are apparent that we could exploit. Now, in our case, we don't do destructive red teaming. There are some organizations that we don't believe in destructive red teaming. Mm-hmm. We would simply come in. We would look for those vulnerabilities, such as ports that have been left open, email addresses that are group email addresses that are vulnerable, known vulnerabilities on certain equipment, whether it be routers, switches, web front ends, any known vulnerabilities that we could take advantage of. Then once we have worked through the perimeter of the organization, we would try to move laterally within the organization to find areas of opportunities to demonstrate to a client the cyber effect of a adversary entering their network. Taking that to another level, if we could get access to a domain controller and show that we could we can disrupt their entire operation. That demonstrates to them, to that organization, how important it is to protect and defend the perimeter so that it never gets to that point.
Yeah, that makes sense. And everything was just, that was so well said. And it's just, I think it's just so, it's so important to highlight how dangerous these cyber breaches can be, and just taking all those preventative measures to avoid that happening. So,
well, Lisa, let me throw this in as well, that I see a lot of organizations, well, let me back up just a minute and say that our philosophy is that every system is at risk. There is no system that has no vulnerabilities. And that's something, if you start with that mindset in a defensive posture, it allows you to make better decisions. I said this at a conference a couple of weeks ago, but I see a lot of organizations that spend 70% of their resources on perimeter defense, 20% on backup and recovery, and only 10% or so for detection capabilities. And wow. I think that is a little skewed.
For sure.
It is really important to detect the intrusion as quickly as possible. I don't have, it all depends on the individual organization, but there is a lack of emphasis in a lot of organizations on detecting and eradicating a threat, as opposed to throwing everything at prevention.
Right.
So just something to keep in mind. And that also occurs when we're red teaming, as once we breach the perimeter, if the organization, if our client is not set up, they do not have the resources, the infrastructure to detect our lateral movements, it definitely makes it a lot easier on us. And it makes it a lot easier on the adversary, any adversarial attack as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. And I love what you said about, it's important to not just think about all the prevention, but also thinking about the detection before, because once it happens, it's good to know, okay, what's here, how do I get it out, and being able to see it rather than just throwing everything into prevention, when in reality, we can't fully prevent it. We can only take as many precautions as we can, but if it happens, we have to know what's going on as quickly as possible rather than later.
Absolutely. And cyber resources are difficult to get for organizations. Those resources are precious. And using them in the most effective manner is obviously the strategy that we would encourage any organization, is use those limited resources in the most effective way possible in order to protect as much as possible.
Right.
Then detect as quickly as possible and defend to eliminate or reduce any disruption as much as possible.
Yeah, I think the key word there was as quickly as possible. That's
exactly.
Yeah, that's the most important. So you touched a little bit about Red Team and kind of their role. So I just want to ask, what's the difference between Red Team and Blue Team exercises when it comes to cybersecurity?
As we perform a Red Team, the Red Team is the offensive cyber, Blue Team is the defensive cyber. So in a Red Team exercises, those two would kind of be pitted against each other in an exercise that would allow the Red Team to be on offense, the Blue Team to be on defense, working to prevent any intrusion, any degradation of the systems. But it's important to know for the blue team, somewhere, someone is testing your defenses right now. Every organization is being hit with phishing emails, with scans to their network. So the blue team is should be on their toes at all times.
Right.
Red team, if you think red team offense, blue team defense, those defensive cyber professionals are the ones that are on duty 24/7 defending the network and working to keep everything operational for the organization, whether it's a business or a state, county, city, utility. That blue team is the one that keeps them up and running and is defending against any attack. Those exercises that that you can do a pure blue team, particularly a tabletop exercise where the blue team is assembled and the questions are, okay, if this happens, what would you do? If this happens, what would you do? You can also do that in the real world with practicing backup and recovery. So many organizations take backups weekly and they have them and they have never exercised getting those backups into production. And we see all too frequently backups fail. Those type of exercises of, okay, once a month or once a week, once a quarter, our security team is going to install our backups and make sure they're working and functioning as appropriate. The blue team exercises could also consist of just purely evaluating the perimeter on a consistent basis to see what are our configurations or our settings the most up to date. So think red team offense, blue team defense, and all of the things that are encompassed with both of those.
Right. And is it like red team and blue team, it's usually both done together at the same time, or you would use maybe red team in one instance and blue team in another instance, but not necessarily at the same time? How does that work?
Typically, they would be done at the same time, where the red team would be working against a blue team that is defensive in nature. Mm-hmm. But you could also do the blue team exercises purely as a preparatory exercise to a red team. Check your configurations. You know, you could label that as an exercise, or you could label it as general security maintenance. But check your backups, check your configurations. We're going to set a time that we are going to do that once a quarter, once a month, once a week. Check configurations. And you could also have a purely blue team where you are looking and doing threat hunting. Are there any indicators of compromise within our system? So typically they would be done together. There are instances where the blue team could exercise and prepare just as a blue team.
Okay, perfect. Yes, thank you so much. How I'm understanding it, they just operate a bit differently, but at the end of the day, the same goal is in mind, right?
Absolutely. So, the goal is to secure that network. Absolutely.
That's what's important, right?
Absolutely.
So the final question I want to ask is, could you give some examples of red team exercises that you have done in your experience?
Yes, have a couple of examples, but you know, you can have a red team, blue team exercise that varies greatly. One example that we've done recently is just a tabletop red team exercise where we got together and it was the red team is going to do this. What would you do as a blue team? What would you do to defend? The offensive team is doing this. Defense, how would you respond? So almost a board game exercise. The other example, well, there's two other examples I want to give, but we were asked by an organization to do what we've called a transparent red team. Typically, a red team is working as an adversarial, and the blue team would not know what the next move is. We've been asked by an organization to do a transparent red team, so we tell the blue team, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is our methodology. The reason they've asked for that is they have a very inexperienced cyber defensive team, and they want to use it as training, not just for what they do, but they want to understand the tactics, the techniques, and procedures of an adversarial malicious attacker. So we're able to show them step by step how and what we would do as an adversary. But I do want to give one concrete example in a recent engagement. We were able to gain access to the network through an employee portal and then move laterally within the organization, server to server. And within a week, we had complete control of their Exchange server. We had complete and total rights on that Exchange server. And as a result, we were able to send emails from any account. Now, you think about a phishing campaign where you spoof somebody's email address and there are ways to see that it didn't really come from that person. By us doing this operation and gaining control of their Exchange server, we were able to literally send an email from one person in that. Well, we could have sent it from anybody within that organization,
right?
But we could go to the leader of the organization and actually send an email from him to anyone in their organization. We had complete control of all of their, we could read all of their emails. We could see, we do sign confidentiality agreements, and we didn't read through their emails. We didn't look at them, but it made phishing extremely easy. So then we could send emails to anybody in that organization and gather their credentials and be able to do pretty much anything we wanted within that organization. They were extremely surprised to find out that we had that kind of control of their email Exchange server.
Right.
But I will tell you one other thing with red teaming. If I was an adversary and we had gained complete control of their Exchange server, I probably would have stopped right there. I probably would not have attacked that organization as harsh, because I had that foothold and could use that access on their Exchange server to attack their peer organizations, because I could send an email from their chairman to the other organization's chairman, and it would literally come from him. I could use that as a staging area to attack other organizations. That's what makes it so, this one, so critical and so obvious, because it could be a staging area for multiple attacks across an entire industry. We also at TrueLight make a point to alert management if we see anything that is, we will halt an a red team exercise to say, wait a minute, this one is so critical. This one is such a wide open hole. We need to stop. Y'all need to fix this.
Right.
If we see any indicators of compromise, if we see where other people have exploited a vulnerability, we will stop an exercise and say, you know, management, you've got an issue here. You need to fix it. We're going to step back, or we can engage to help you fix it.
But
your
just
preference,
them know.
But we're going to let you know that somebody else has been here other than us. But the big thing on these red team exercises that we've done, and even the pen test that we've done, we're able to see these vulnerabilities. We're able to report them. We're able to talk to management about how we were able to infiltrate or exploit vulnerabilities within their systems, and then get those fixed. It does our team a lot of good to see a vulnerability truly taken seriously and fixed.
Right.
And then we move on to the next vulnerability, and okay, let's get those done.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the goal, just to make sure that everything is secure and check up on everything.
Absolutely. And it's a good point to mention that there are multiple levels of external cyber assessments. From a vulnerability scan, which is just going to look at your perimeter, is just going to look at, okay, what are their ports open? Do you have issues? To a pen test, which it looks for perimeter vulnerabilities as well, and more of a manual, and then a red team assessment. We also take it to another level with a persistent cyber assessment, where we engage as an adversarial adversarial assessment. However, we really don't tell them when we're going to start. Only the CISO would know. We are starting on such and such date. And that truly allows the blue team, the defenders of the network, to exercise their cyber defenses.
Right.
Because they really don't know it's us. All they know is they've seen some
There's
indicators
something to
of
defend.
Compromise.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Jonathan, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the episode. You provided such great insights and information. So I just want to thank you so much again for coming on and being a guest on the Don't Risk It, Secure It podcast. Thanks so much.
Alisa, thank you very much. I've truly enjoyed the discussion, and hope to do it again sometime.